From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. The flu outbreak in Boston has prompted Mayor Menino to declare a public health emergency yesterday. Since October, there have been 700 confirmed cases of influenza in Boston, compared to 70 confirmed cases last flu season. Joining me on the line to talk about this outbreak is Dr. William Hanage, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at Harvard School of Public Health. Dr. Hanage, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Callie.
So, as a person who studies populations and what's going on in the larger populations, are you surprised by this? It seems to have caught us, the nation, unaware.
I wouldn't say I'm surprised, because flu is a notoriously difficult to predict illness. I mean, it comes around every year. We can be pretty sure of that. But how bad it's going to be every year is very difficult to say in advance. So, for instance, this is a very early flu season. The last time it was this early was about 9 years ago, but it's certainly not unprecedented.
So we got 29 states and New York City really having high rates of flu-like symptoms among victims. Massachusetts is one of them, and Boston's declared the epidemic flu emergency. What about this particular strain is making it earlier, the flu epidemic, making it an epidemic, period, and certainly making the season come earlier?
The difficult question, I mean, I'll deal with those things separately. Earlier, we don't really know. But what makes it worse is likely due to some feature of the strain, which means that it's identified some hole in our immune coverage. Because we all of us have immunity to viruses that we've either been made sick by in the past or things that we've been vaccinated against. And, you know, it's too early to say exactly, and scientists will be arguing over this for probably months and years to come, but a successful, highly transmissible virus like this is almost certain to have identified some kind of chink in our armor.
So this is type A, H3, some are calling it H3N2. And as I have looked at flu clinics, and some of them say we have a dose that addresses this strain, but not this strain. 76% of the virus right now is reported in all these states with high flu-like symptoms are this particular strain, but there are others as well.
That's right, there are. The most common strain this year is H3N2, which, as you said correctly, which interestingly has a somewhat more severe disease profile than some of the other strains circulating. Famously, for instance, you remember a few years ago there was the swine flu pandemic, which was a highly transmissible strain which didn't have a very severe disease profile. H3N2 is worse than that. It's in some ways a typical flu virus in terms of the types of people it particularly severely affects.
So again, back to the population, just looking at where it's landed, east and south are hardest hit at this moment, though it's spreading westward. Any clues about why that is?
No, it's very difficult to, I mean, you can make up all kinds of just-so stories as to why that might be. Normally you expect there to be much worse in the north before it gets down to the south, because flu is extremely seasonal disease. And obviously seasons in the south of the country are considerably different to how they are in the north. Just, you know, compare Chicago and New Orleans. So the underlying reasons for that are not at all clear. I do agree, however, that in certainly those places out west that don't seem to have been hit so badly so far, people should be preparing for some, you know, pretty bad stuff coming in the future.
I am speaking with Dr. William Hanage. He's Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the Harvard School of Public Health, and we're talking about the flu epidemic now. It's been declared a public health emergency in Boston yesterday by Mayor Menino. 29 states, including and New York City, and including Massachusetts is one of those states, experiencing high flu-like activity. So let's talk about what we mean by high flu-like activity. This is not two or three people on your block. I mean, hospitals are jammed with people suffering symptoms. And we should note that this is not sort of a bigger cold. Flu is something much more serious.
Yep, that's absolutely right. I mean, one thing that you'll see if you go through medical textbooks is that all sorts of diseases start with what are termed flu-like symptoms. But by that, they mean things like runny nose, fever, and the like. flu itself is a considerably more serious prospect than just a regular cold, and it can have very, very bad sort of results, certainly within vulnerable members of the population, those who are very young, those who are very old, or those who have pre-existing medical conditions. In the years between 1976 and about 2006, between 3,000 and 49,000 people died in the country each year from flu. And a typical flu year, although, as I said, it's extremely variable, so, I mean, typical is a difficult word to use, would be around 36,000 deaths. So, I mean, pardon the pun, but it's certainly not to be sneezed at.
For the record, what differentiates cold symptoms from flu symptoms? Because given the state that we're in, everybody needs to know that.
Sure. A flu can be seen in some ways as a very sort of shorthand as an extremely bad cold. You'll have a typical constellation of symptoms would be runny nose, sore throat, aches, arthralgia, which is, you know, aches in your joints, fever, typically, although not all people with flu have a fever. And this is something which is pretty rapid onset, in particular with a sore throat. So if you start experiencing those symptoms, then you should really start contacting your doctor. And the other important thing that I should say as an epidemiologist is that you probably really shouldn't be going to work.
Mm. Yes, because you're making other people more vulnerable, particularly babies under 6 months and older people. Now, we got a problem here. Not only do we have a problem that Mayor Menino has declared a public health emergency, but, for example, Somerville has run out of vaccine. They had 700 doses, and they've canceled all their winter clinics. Believe me, I've tried to get the flu shot. Okay, so I put it off, thinking I'll do it later. And now I can't get near it. I mean, this is bad news.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yes. Believe me, I'm freaking out about it a little bit, so I'm going to try again. But the point is that while there is some availability, there are also some shortages.
Yeah. I mean, those shortages should hopefully, and I'm saying this, you know, touch wood, should hopefully not last, so do keep trying. And the other thing that, as a message to, you know, you and all your listeners, this is very good advice to try and get vaccinated early before it gets to this sort of stage in an epidemic in future years.
I know, Dr. Hanage. I was one of those people, and I'm sure I'm speaking for others. I thought, yeah, I'll get that because I'm pretty healthy and I'm going to get it. I always get it, but I didn't feel the need to rush.
So it's always a question that you're going to get it rather than you got it.
Exactly.
You have to do something with that tense.
I think you're exactly right. But the point is, it's not too late, even in the midst of epidemic and high flu-like activity.
It's never too late. The only circumstances where you would say that it was too late would be if you'd actually sort of contracted the flu immediately before you went and got the vaccination. And in fact, if you were going to get vaccination, people will be asking you questions as to whether or not you are suffering from any flu-like symptoms at the moment. So those are the circumstances where it would be, you could consider it to be too late. But that's no reason for anybody to not be thinking about going and getting vaccinated, because it's certainly the best weapon in our arsenal.
I'm speaking with Dr. William Hanage, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at Harvard School of Public Health. Dr. Hanage, I have to ask you or put before you something that's always said by people who say, one of the reasons I don't rush to get the flu shot is that I get it, and the minute I get it, then I get sick. I was fine before, and then I get sick. Can you...
You mean the flu shot?
Yes. So, you know, people say it all the time. I get the flu shot, and the minute I get it, then I get sick.
It's absolute. There is no way in which the flu shot can actually make you sick. I mean, the side effects that you get from flu shots are, I mean, certainly the injectable flu shots, which are the vast majority of vaccinations which are given out. The side effects that you're likely to get are soreness, which is because of the, you know, it's doing good work. It's generating antibodies, which is your natural defense mechanism. But it will not make you sick. It's a common misconception, which is largely due to the fact that there are all sorts of respiratory viruses which are around. So the fact is, you can have your flu shot, and then you might pick up something else shortly afterwards because, you know, it's winter and there's lots of colds going around. And you might then think, oh, the flu shot gave me the cold. Well, actually, it didn't. The flu shot has been protecting you against flu. And flu, as we said, is something that you really want to do everything you can to avoid.
All right. So we're going to be washing our hands and trying to stand in those long lines and get the shot.
I don't know if you remember from 2009, there was a recommendation that people do what was called, you know, rather than covering your mouth and your face with your hand when you sneeze, do what was called the sort of Dracula move and actually bring your sneeze right into your elbow. Because that is something which is not, which is going to mean you're not putting virus on your hands. Because once you put virus on your hands, you open a door, you do something like that, somebody else opens the door, and then they scratch their face and they infect themselves.
Yes, so I've heard both of those. Doctor, one last question, and that is, do you expect this to taper off, or you've just never seen this before, so we don't know if will be stabilized at a high rate for some time?
I mean, predicting what a flu outbreak is going to do in the middle of it at this stage is extremely difficult. So I wouldn't like to say it's going to taper off now. Some of the most recent data suggests that there is a bit of a drop, but we'd have to look to see if that's sustained. And you know, right now, we just don't know. If you want to look at the situation, the CDC has a lot of good advice and regularly updated information on how many people are getting sick, how you can protect yourself and the vaccine and stuff like that on its website. You can also look, there's a very interesting project called Flu Trends, which works through Google, and which actually looks on the web to see if people are searching for symptoms of flu and uses that to try and estimate how much flu activity there is. And it shows that everything is very intense and still extremely high. So the short answer is we don't really know how long this is going to last, and people ought to be prepared for it to, you know, if it starts dropping fairly quickly, then we'll be very happy. But if it's not, we should be prepared for a bit of a long haul.
And in lieu of the CDC and Google, we have you, and we're thankful for it, Dr. William Hanage.
Thank you.
Associate Professor of Epidemiology at Harvard School of Public Health. He was here to talk about the flu outbreak in Boston that's been declared a public emergency by Mayor Menino. Dr. Hanage, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly.
Are the days of the classic on-campus college experience coming to an end? Could a higher ed revolution upend the days of dorm dwelling and lecture halls? Kara Miller brings you that next on Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. This is 89.7 WGBH.